This is Neil Whiteside.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
I've got Jan Fairshow from PEM, and we've got Martin Page from Woodfines. And we're talking about starting a new business. That must be a real danger, mustn't it? Husband and wives and brothers and sisters and people like that, family members.
Yeah,
you've got to get it written down, haven't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think you've hit on it. I think because of the relationship, because of the familiarity, there's a lot of things that just are not written down. And when disagreements happen, I think we all know family disagreements can be the worst type of disagreements.
Yes.
And then if that then bleeds into the business, then that can make for a very tense kind of atmosphere. And so I think, you know, what we always like to tell clients is that by having, you can actually have a very positive framework for resolving disputes, for decision making, by having that written down. And I think the only time to do it is when, you know, is at the start, when you're all putting the time in to think about it, because getting an agreement when you're already in a disagreement situation is
that's
very
even
difficult.
Tougher, isn't
so,
it?
And I think also it's you know, trying to if you've got a, you know, say a husband and wife team, it's the dynamic for investors, for the other, you know, employees as well, is something to think about.
Okay, now we've got quite a list of things. We were saying that obviously businesses can come in many shapes and forms, but there are some basic things that everyone needs to. You've got a heck of a list in front of you. Let's crack through the stuff we've not mentioned yet.
So I think premises as well. I think we touched on. I think really whether it's a business that you can operate from home, or do you need to have premises? I mean, I suppose. You might be able to start on your kitchen table, or if you're a manufacturing business, then you will have to have some premises, you're going to have to have some machinery, you're going to have to, I guess, get the funding for all that, and you have to get all the various agreements as well for premises, equipment, and all those various things.
And obviously one thing you've got to be careful on premises as well, especially for startup businesses, that and similarly with bank lending as well, that you may be asked for personal guarantees, even though we mentioned earlier, you can set up a company which to some extent protects you from that, but in early stages banks, landlords will look for personal
guarantees.
They're
going to go beyond that, aren't they?
Yeah, so again, taking advice on that, making sure that you know what you're getting yourself into from the start is an important consideration. I think another thing we haven't talked about is the marketing of your business, the name of your business. That it's such an important thing, because that is what identifies you, and it's very, very advisable to take good care doing that from the start, because if you choose a name that someone else has got, you can be sure you'll receive a letter from their solicitor very shortly.
Well, I was going to open up a fruit and veg
card.
I was going to open a fruit and veg shop and call it Apple, and I didn't see what the problem was until someone told me it might not be a good idea. Yes, and that's the thing, isn't it?
It's surprising how many businesses actually are registered on Companies House. So you find a fantastic name and someone's already got that name.
Yes.
And there's a lot of companies there who will register names of companies and hold them there, and then basically if you want that name, you need to buy that name from that person.
But it was an interesting point you raised there about with the Apple example. I think one there is a danger, though, that you will often think of a name for your business that's related to what you're doing, and if your trademark, if your name is too descriptive of what you're doing, then actually the law doesn't allow you to trademark that in the first place. So actually Apple for computers, great name, but Apple for a grocery store may not actually be enforceable, so you may not be able to stop others from using the same. So it's again, there's lots of kind of little subtleties that to consider on these things. But I think the first thing to do, really, if you've got a business, you've got a name, just Google it, just see if there is anything else out there. I think that's probably the first step for anyone thinking of that.
Then making sure you protect as well, so register it on Companies House, make sure that if there's any domain names as well, just make sure you get the domain name.
That's always the trick,
get the Twitter
it?
Handle before someone else does.
Yes. We tried that with 105 Breakfast. We wanted Neil and Linda.
Yeah.
We wanted Linda and Neil, two people in Sydney. Couldn't get it. They'd had it since 2012, never used it, couldn't get it. So yes, you're absolutely right. It's other things from you, Jan?
I just think, to be honest, I think the people side of things is very, very interesting. I think it's just making sure you're looking at ways of attracting talent, really. I think that's the thing that we always have a conversation. Because I think ultimately, I think you can't do everything yourself. I think looking at people being responsible for marketing and sales, people to have a conversation with suppliers. Really, you need to have also a good finance person as well. I think at the moment, a lot of people try and do it themselves. I think it's really important when you start a business to try and get a good understanding of all those key areas. But I think you need to try and focus on the business. So I think there's a lot of really good technology now, outsource services that you can get, and really that will really help your business on the employee side as well. I think you can look at, you know, sort of having various roles and responsibilities and trying to get people on board generally.
Absolutely. Now, couldn't agree more. I think certainly from the personnel side, you want to make sure that whoever you're employing, whether they are employees or consultants of the business, again, making sure that they have the right terms in place. I mean, just again going back to the trademarks and intellectual property kind of side of things. If you're a tech business starting in Cambridge, you want to make sure that the people working for you are going to make sure that the things that they create and invent for you are owned by you, and that's an important part of the employment agreement. Also, agreements with directors as well should be clear that, you know, if a key employee or key director leaves the company, you'll want to make sure that they're not going to be setting up a competing business the next day.
Seen it happen. That's the trouble, haven't we? Yeah. Seen it happen all the time.
So unfortunately, there is a lot of paperwork to think about, but I think. Again, I think it's if you've got good advisors and you've got good family support, you can prioritize these things. So you can maybe you don't have to get all of these things all in one go in the first week.
Sure.
But you can start to
you need to have them in mind, don't you?
Have a plan of when you're going to be doing them, and you know when you're taking people on, thinking of, you know, getting that those kind of things in place.
And I'm going to come to your defence at this point, both of you, because I'm going to say at the start, the thing which is most obvious to me is, yeah, nowadays you can go online, can't you? You can get a website for nothing. You can do online accounts for nothing. The trouble is, you get what you pay for. And you can get accounting packages and things that do it all online for you, and you scan in your receipts. But the trouble is, if you do grow to be a multi-million pound company and you want to flog it, no one's going to trust you too much if you're still using your mobile phone to scan your receipts in. It's getting that advice and getting professional advice at the start could really save you at the end, couldn't it? It could either make you more money or stop you making a huge mistake.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the business plan, I think, as we were saying, it carries you all the way through. So I think that there's a lot of motivation when you start a business. You want to go out and start. But I think ultimately, when you have a business plan, if you have a good day or bad day, you can carry on that plan. You know what your customers are, what your suppliers are. You know where to look for assistance. You look at the people. And I think all the way through, when you look to sell a business, ultimately, people will look at who the people are behind the business. Have you got all the contracts of employment? Are they being rewarded as they should be? Have you really thought about, you know, how you're going to deal with your customers? If you've got one customer, if you lose that customer, then that becomes a really big issue. So it's making sure that you think about all those things right from the outset. And I think that's ultimately, when you're looking at business, it's really looking at how you're going to reward yourself. A lot of people will sacrifice a lot of salary at the beginning, and effectively the key value really is on an exit, when they're passing on to other people within the company or looking for a third party coming to buy that business. It's really making sure you get all that advice throughout the whole process, right from the outset, in terms of structuring, in terms of who the shareholders are going to be, what agreements are in place, making sure you look at the tax position, making sure that your, you know, HMRC are happy with you, making sure that all the various tax reliefs are being claimed as well. It's amazing. I mean, we're still having conversations with businesses. They are, you know, sort of doing various innovative activities and not claiming all the various tax breaks they're able to claim. It's amazing. And I think sometimes, you know, you have advice, and yes, there are associated fees in terms of taking professional advice, but a lot of cases, I think, you know, the benefit outweighs.
If it costs you a couple of grand and someone sends you a cheque for 40, who cares?
Yeah,
that's money well spent, isn't it? Absolutely.
Absolutely, yes. You've got to look at the value, because I think you've got to be pragmatic and commercial about what you're wanting to spend your money on. But at the end of the day, you've got to have, if you are going to put these documents in place, you should get them done properly. And I think another thing, just to mention, it links in with the business plan again, is that if you don't budget for advice on legal compliance, accounting compliance, then you're just saving up a whole load of issues for the future. Yeah. And I think as part of, you know, if your company's very, very profitable, but it's just you doing everything, then that it can be very hard to then scale up and let go. Whereas I think certainly you look at successful businesses, they have different departments, they have different skilled people in different areas, and at the start you can't be all you can't do everything. So it's looking at your own skill set for your business and deciding where you need help. And so I think, you know, if, for example, you were an accountant or a lawyer setting up a business, you might not need the amount of legal and accountancy support.
Sure.
Whereas if you or your friends, family, co-founders haven't got experience in that area, it's something certainly to consider further.
Well, there we go. You heard it first from Martin Page of Woodfine Solicitors and Jan Fasho from PEM, accountants in... Station Road. I think it's my hepatitis and my my typhoid jabs. I can't remember my own name this afternoon. Thank you both for coming in. We'll keep in touch, obviously, because we've got selling the business, as you say, is a whole different subject as well. So we'll come back to you both on that. But for now, thank you very much indeed for coming in.